Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. All of Psalm 19. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power, the grace, the peace that permeates your word. Thank you for the grace and the peace and the joy that pours into our hearts, our minds, our lives as we take the time to read and meditate on your word and spend time one-on-one with you. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you're such a good God, a gracious God, a merciful Heavenly Father, that you'll spend as much time with us as we will spend with you. Thank you, Father, for running our cups over in so many ways. More and more, help us to be wise enough to spend much time continually with you each and every day of our lives. Thank you for the honor of being able to spend time in your presence as we spend time in your precious and powerful word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much that you are our provider. Thank you so much that you give us understanding. Thank you so much for revealing yourself to us. Father, today we come to spend time with you. We come to look at your scriptures, to look at a humanity story of your relationship with all of us. So Father, I just ask that you'd continue to reveal yourself more and that we would respond in a holy manner as you call us to. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for choosing to be a part of our listening family here on the Hour of Intercession on American Family Radio. We're continuing to remind you about our upcoming Activate Summit that's going to happen this summer, Thursday, June the 12th through Saturday, June the 14th, 2025 will be our Activate Conference. The website for more information is activate.afa.net. The theme for the conference is Biblical Bedrock, Building on the Authority of Scripture. And we hope that you'll be mindful that as Christians, we're called to be salt and light in a dark and a hurting world. But an important question is, how can we even begin to impact others when we live in a culture where truth for too many people is just relatives, It all starts with God's word. In fact, it begins and ends with God's word. And so we're encouraging you to prayerfully consider coming to the Activate Summit that's happening again June the 12th through the 14th this summer. And that's one way you can help to counteract the enemy by becoming a better equipped servant and kingdom warrior. So if you can come and be with us at our Activate Summit 2025, we certainly hope that you'll consider coming. Keep in mind, the main sessions are for ages 13 and up, while Activate Kids is a separate track for ages 6 to 12. And just like the adults, the children will learn about the authority and sufficiency of Scripture, but in an engaging and appropriate way as well. So again, we're hoping you'll prayerfully consider coming to the Activate Summit 2025. Again, those dates, Thursday, June the 12th through Saturday, June the 14th. For more information, go to the website activate.afa.net. As we often do, we share articles that are meant to be discipleship articles that help equip you to be a better equipped kingdom warrior. Also, tools that you can use to help disciple your own family, and tools you can forward and share with others by way of the internet as well. Email to others as the Lord puts them on your heart to do so. The title of this article is The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Again, that title, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9. Then Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive, that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Again, Proverbs 4, verses 1 to 7. Then Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 4. Parents carry their children in their hearts. Their children are very important to them and precious to them. As parents, we want the absolute best for all of our children in every area of their lives. A very important truth for all parents to be mindful of is that the best we can give our children is Jesus. The greatest gift that they can ever receive in life is Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jesus is eternal life. So as parents, we're very wise to do all we can to help and encourage our children to receive Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Once our child is saved, it's one of the great responsibilities of Christian parents to disciple them. It is our calling from the Lord to help and guide our children to become strong, vibrant believers who love and follow Jesus Christ in their life and lifestyle. Why is this so important? Well, first of all, we're commanded to make disciples, as Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20 tell us. And this very important calling is to start with ourselves and then move directly to our families, our spouses and children. So in considering the great responsibility of discipling our children, just what are some steps or practical building blocks we are to utilize? What are things we can do to effectively and practically carry out this important responsibility and calling? Let's consider a few things a parent can do to help their children to begin to grow up in the Lord. The following are some practical things, ideas and suggestions Christian parents can do to help and encourage their children to come to know the Lord and to grow in their faith as well. Pray daily with your children. Pray the Lord's Prayer with them and allow them to lead the prayer sometimes. Pray Psalm 91 every day with them. Allow them to hear you call their name in prayer every day. Give your children incentives to memorize and learn Bible-based prayers. Next, have your child read no less than 3 chapters in the Word of God daily out loud to you. You can find shorter chapters, shortened psalms, or simply a selected given passage for younger children. For children who do not yet know how to read, let them repeat short passages after you. Some of those scriptures could be Psalm 1 or Psalm 23, Psalm 100, and the like. Ask your child questions about what they have read. What are 2 or 3 important things he or she heard or picked up from their reading? What stood out? Teach your children to obey the Word of God. Teach them to be doers of the Word of God, as James 1:22 tells us. Teach your children the meaning of each of the 10 commandments and have them to memorize them. Teach them to pray the 10 commandments every day and pray it for the church and for our nation. Also, parents, it's very important for us to recognize this reality. We live in a world where someone or something is going to disciple your child and your children one way or another. In other words, certain people or things will capture your child's attention, interest, and or heart in the world we live in. Some of these may include celebrities, sports figures, television, the internet, things on his or her cell phone, video games, people they quote-unquote meet in chat rooms, etc. Some topics that they come across on the internet may captivate them in their mind and their interest. And yes, these things can begin to quote-unquote disciple our children. Some of these things can begin to mold their thoughts and their thinking and their perspectives about life and the world in too many wrong and twisted ways. And too often the results can be tragic. Consider some sad incidents that you may have heard about in the news recently. Some of these news stories include a teenage boy who was shot and killed by an individual as he tried to get away from stealing something in a local store. Elementary age children attempting and sometimes succeeding in committing suicide. Young people committing suicide after being bullied online or in school. 3 young girls went off into the woods and 2 of them tried to murder the 3rd one. A teen recently walked into his school and began to shoot, murdering a number of his classmates. And tragically, we could go on and on with the news stories in the news today. Where do these children and youths get the ideas and thoughts to do such things? Too often, the devil, through the internet and social media, TVs and movies, wrong video games, too often the devil is discipling our children in darkness. Too often these young people are consuming darkness by the gallon. Some of these youths may attend church, but many of them, while they consume darkness and put so much negative info and input into their minds, some of these children may literally never or rarely pick up and open a Bible and read it. Parents, without question, we have much work to do in discipling our children, and we have much work to do through the church in reaching youth in our communities. Yet greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't have to be afraid. We simply have to trust our Heavenly Father and diligently be about his business. God can work through each of us as parents to help our children greatly in helping them to grow up in their faith. May we be about the work of carrying out the Great Commission in our homes, in our communities, and in the world. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, the title of that article, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children. We'll be right back.
Darkness.
Music of Elevation Worship with Sea of Victory. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. An ongoing reminder to you that our Ten Commandments project is ongoing, and specifically the speech challenge will take place this June 1st through the 30th. And if you'd like your young people to be a part of it, we certainly hope that you will encourage them to do so. You can email me at joseph@afr.net for more information about our Ten Commandments Youth Discipleship Project. We'll be glad to get that to you, and hope that you will certainly encourage your children, grandchildren, or youth that you know to get involved. Again, our Ten Commandments Project. We pick up now reading through the Word of God here in the book of Job. Job chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. One day, the members of the heavenly court came again to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, "I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil, and he has maintained his integrity, even though you urged me to harm him without cause." Satan replied to the Lord, "Skin for skin, a man will give up everything he has to save his life, but reach out and take away his health, and he will surely curse you to your face." "All right, do with him as you please," the Lord said to Satan, "but spare his life." So Satan left the Lord's presence, and he struck Job with terrible boils from head to foot. Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die." But Job replied, "You talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad?" So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. When three of Job's friends heard of the tragedy he had suffered, they got together and traveled from their homes to comfort and console him. Their names were Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. When they saw Job from a distance, they scarcely recognized him. Wailing loudly, they tore their robes and threw dust into the air over their heads to show their grief. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and nights. No one said a word to Job, for they saw that his suffering was too great for words. Job chapter 3. At last Job spoke, and he cursed the day of his birth. He said, "Let the day of my birth be erased, and the night I was conceived. Let that day be turned to darkness. Let it be lost even to God on high, and let no light shine on it. Let the darkness and utter gloom claim that day for its own. Let a black cloud overshadow it, and let the darkness terrify it. Let that night be blotted off the calendar. never again to be counted among the days of the year, never again to appear among the months. Let that night be childless. Let it have no joy. Let those who are experts at cursing, those cursing could rouse Leviathan, curse that day. Let its morning stars remain dark. Let it hope for light, but in vain. May it never see the morning light. Curse that day for failing to shut my mother's womb, for letting me be born to see all this trouble. Why wasn't I born dead? Why didn't I die as I came from the womb? Why was I laid on my mother's lap? Why did she nurse me at her breasts? Had I died at birth, I would now be at peace. I would be asleep and at rest. I would rest with the world's kings and prime ministers, whose great buildings now lie in ruins. I would rest with princes rich in gold, whose palaces were filled with silver. Why wasn't I buried like a stillborn child, like a baby who never lives to see the light? For in death the wicked cause no trouble, and the weary are at rest. Even captives are at ease in death, with no guards to curse them. Rich and poor are both there, and the slave is free from his master. Oh, why give light to those in misery, and life to those who are bitter? They long for death, and it won't come. They search for death more eagerly than for hidden treasure. They're filled with joy when they finally die, and rejoice when they find the grave. Why is life given to those with no future? Those God has surrounded with difficulties. I cannot eat for sighing. My groans pour out like water. What I always feared has happened to me. What I dreaded has come true. I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest. Only trouble comes. Job chapter 4. Then Eliphaz the Temanite replied to Job, "Will you be patient and let me say a word? For who could keep from speaking out? In the past, you have encouraged many people. You have strengthened those who were weak. Your words have supported those who were failing. You encouraged those with shaky knees. But now when trouble strikes, you lose heart. You are terrified when it touches you. Doesn't your reverence for God give you confidence? Doesn't your life of integrity give you hope? Stop and think. Do the innocent die? When have the upright been destroyed? My experience shows that those who plant trouble and cultivate evil will harvest the same. A breath from God destroys them. They vanish in a blast of his anger. The lion roars and the wildcat snarls, but the teeth of strong lions will be broken. The fierce lion will starve for lack of prey, and the cubs of the lioness will be scattered. This truth was given to me in secret, as though whispered in my ear. It came to me in a disturbing vision at night, when people are in a deep sleep. Fear gripped me, and my bones trembled. A spirit swept past my face, and my hairs stood on end. The spirit stopped, but I couldn't see its shape. There was a form before my eyes. In the silence, I heard a voice say, "Can a mortal be innocent before God? Can anyone be pure before the Creator? If God does not trust his own angels and has charged his messengers with foolishness, How much less will he trust people made of clay? They are made of dust, crushed as easily as a moth. They are alive in the morning, but dead by evening, gone forever without a trace. Their tent cords are pulled, and the tent collapses, and they die in ignorance. Chapter 5. Cry for help, but will anyone answer you? Which of the angels will help you? Surely resentment destroys the fool, and jealousy kills the simple. I have seen that fools may be successful for the moment, but then comes sudden disaster. Their children are abandoned far from help. They are crushed in court with no one to defend them. The hungry devour their harvest, even when it is guarded by brambles. The thirsty pant after their wealth, but evil does not spring from the soil, and trouble does not sprout from the earth. People are born for trouble as readily as sparks fly up from a fire. If I were you, I would go to God and present my case to him. He does great things too marvelous to understand. He performs countless miracles. He gives rain for the earth and water for the fields. He gives prosperity to the poor and protects those who suffer. He frustrates the plans of schemers, so the work of their hands will not succeed. He traps the wise in their own cleverness, so their cunning schemes are thwarted. They find it is dark in the daytime, and they grope at noon as if it were night. He rescues the poor from the cutting words of the strong, and rescues them from the clutches of the powerful. So at last the poor have hope, and the snapping jaws of the wicked are shut. But consider the joy of those corrected by God. Do not despise the discipline of the Almighty when you sin. For though he wounds, he also bandages. He strikes, but his hands also heal. From six disasters, he will rescue you. Even in the seventh, he will keep you from evil. He will save you from death in a time of famine, from the power of the sword in a time of war. You will be safe from slander and have no fear when destruction comes. You will laugh at destruction and famine. Wild animals will not terrify you. You will be at peace with the stones of the field, and its wild animals will be at peace with you. You will know that your home is safe. When you survey your possessions, nothing will be missing. You will have many children. Your descendants will be as plentiful as grass. You will go to the grave at a ripe old age, like a sheaf of grain harvested at the proper time. We have studied life and found all that is to be true. Listen to my counsel and apply it to yourself. Job chapter 6. Then Job spoke again. If my misery could be weighed and my troubles be put on the scales, they would outweigh all the sands of the sea. That is why I spoke impulsively. For the Almighty has struck me down with his arrows. Their poison infects my spirit. God's terrors are lined up against me. Don't I have a right to complain? Don't wild donkeys bray when they find no grass, and oxen bellow when they have no food? Don't people complain about unsalted food? Does anyone want the tasteless white of an egg? My appetite disappears when I look at it. I gag at the thoughts I gag at the thought of eating it. Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant my desire. I wish he would crush me. I wish he would reach out his hand and kill me. At least I can take comfort in this. Despite the pain, I have not denied the words of the Holy One. Verses 1 through 10, Job chapter 6. Thank you, Lord, once again for the precious and blessed opportunity to open your word each day and spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of counsel, words of wisdom, words of power, blessing, and encouragement. Thank you for the privilege we have of being able to spend as much time with you as you'll spend with us, Lord. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you will make time for us as we make time for you in your word. Help us to be wise enough not only to read and meditate on your word daily ourselves, but help us to be wise enough to teach and train our children to read your word aloud to us each and every day so that they too can be blessed and encouraged by the power of your word. And Father, as the upcoming Ten Commandments Project goes forth, bless the project indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Word of God and the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back.
Riches beyond all measure could never satisfy my heart. Even the greatest pleasure only gratifies in part. All that this world can offer can never compare to all you are. You are my greatest treasure, the desire of my heart. Never
music of Canyon Hills Worship with Jesus, My Treasure. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue reading through the Word of God in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." As the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and told the leading priests what had happened. A meeting with the elders was called, and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. They told the soldiers, "You must say, 'Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping, and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble.'" So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story spread widely among the Jews, and they still tell it today. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." End of Matthew chapter 28. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written, "Look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him.'" This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." One day, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy." The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was out among the wild animals, and angels took care of him. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. "The time promised by God has come at last," he announced. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. Jesus and his companions went to the town of Capernaum. When the Sabbath day came, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of religious law. Suddenly, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus reprimanded him. "Be quiet. Come out of the man," he ordered. At that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and then came out of him. Amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what had happened. "What sort of new teaching is this?" they asked excitedly. "It has such authority. Even evil spirits obey his orders." The news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside, took her by the hand, and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. "If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean," he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. "I am willing," he said. "Be healed." Instantly, the leprosy disappeared, and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. End of Mark chapter 1. Father, thank you again for the privilege we have as individual believers and as couples and as families to come together, to pray together, and to come together to read your word as well. Father, anoint every listener with a fresh anointing of the spirit of prayer. Empower us more and more to be the faithful praying believers, the praying church you've called us to be. And anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that we be the faithful students of your word who read and meditate on it daily, individually and as families as well. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you are aware that you have never given your heart to Jesus Christ and asked him to come into your heart to save you and to make you brand new, today is a good day, a wonderful day to make that very important decision and step in your life. Would you, to make that step, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to live what I learn from your word every single day. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to Christ, we're wanting to be in touch with you. Well, let me remind you once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get a copy. We'll be glad to get this information to you, information and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Resource discipleship materials, we're glad to share them with you. Again, please email us and request them, joseph@afr.net. If you wanted to get a copy of the article we shared earlier, the title of the article, The High Priority of Discipling Our Children, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you as well. Just mention the article by name, or if there are any other articles you've heard of in the past, let us know. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.